Chapter 4. The next day, after the child was born, the woman rose as usual and prepared food for them. But she didn't go into the harvest fields with Wang Lung, and so he worked alone until after the noon hour. Then he dressed himself in his blue gown and went into the town. He went to the market and bought 50 eggs, not new laid, but still well enough and costing a penny for one, and he bought red paper to boil in the water with them to make them red. Then, with the eggs in his basket, he went to the sweet shop, and there he bought a pound and a little more of red sugar and saw it wrapped carefully into its brown paper, and under the straw string which held it the sugar dealer slipped a strip of red paper, smiling as he did so. "It is for the mother of a newborn child, perhaps." "A first-born son," said Wang Lung proudly.
"Ah, good fortune,"
answered the man carelessly, his eye on a well-dressed customer who had just come in. This he had said many times to others, even every day to someone, but to Wang Lung it seemed special, and he was pleased with the man's courtesy, and he bowed and bowed again as he went from the shop. It seemed to him as he walked into the sharp sunshine of the dusty street that there was never a man so filled with good fortune as he. He thought of this at first with joy and then with a pang of fear. It didn't do in this life to be too fortunate. The air and the earth were filled with malignant spirits who couldn't endure the happiness of mortals, especially of such as are poor. He turned abruptly into the candlemaker's shop, who sold incense also, and there he bought 4 sticks of incense, one for each person in his house. And with these 4 sticks he went into the small temple of the gods of the earth, and he thrust them into the cold ashes of the incense he had placed there before, he and his wife together. He watched the 4 sticks well lit, and then went homeward, comforted. These 2 small, protective figures, sitting staidly under their small roof, what a power they had! And then, almost before one could realize anything, the woman was back in the fields beside him. The harvests were past, and the grain they beat out upon the threshing floor, which was also the dooryard to the house. They beat it out with flails, he and the woman together. And when the grain was flailed, they winnowed it, casting it up from great flat bamboo baskets into the wind and catching the good grain as it fell, and the chaff blew away in a cloud with the wind. Then there were the fields to plant for winter wheat again. And when he had yoked the ox and ploughed the land, the woman followed behind with her hoe and broke the clods in the furrows. She worked all day now, and the child lay on an old torn quilt on the ground asleep. When it cried, the woman stopped and uncovered her bosom to the child's mouth, sitting flat upon the ground, and the sun beat down upon them both, the reluctant sun of late autumn, that will not let go the warmth of summer until the cold of the coming winter forces it. The woman and the child were as brown as the soil as they sat there like figures made of earth. There was the dust of the fields upon the woman's hair and upon the child's soft black head. But out of the woman's great brown breast the milk gushed forth for the child, milk as white as snow. And when the child suckled at one breast, it flowed like a fountain from the other, and she let it flow. There was more than enough for the child, greedy though he was, life enough for many children. And she let it flow out carelessly, conscious of her abundance. There was always more and more. Sometimes she lifted her breast and let it flow out upon the ground to save her clothing, and it sank into the earth and made a soft, dark, rich spot in the field. The child was fat and good-natured and ate of the inexhaustible life his mother gave him. Winter came on, and they were prepared against it. There had been such harvests as never were before, and the small 3-roomed house was bursting. From the rafters of the thatched roof hung strings and strings of dried onions and garlic, and about the middle room and in the old man's room and in their own room were mats made of reeds and twisted into the shapes of great jars, and these were filled full of wheat and rice. Much of this would be sold, but Wang Lung was frugal, and he didn't, like many of the villagers, spend his money freely at gambling or on foods too delicate for them. And so, like them, have to sell the grain at harvest when the price was low. Instead, he saved it, and sold it when the snow came on the ground or at the new year when people in the towns will pay well for food at any price. His uncle was always having to sell his grain before it was even well ripened. Sometimes he even sold it standing in the field to save himself the trouble of harvesting and threshing to get a little ready cash. But then his uncle's wife was a foolish woman, fat and lazy, and forever clamoring for sweet food, and for this sort of thing and that, and for new shoes bought in the town. Wang Lung's woman made all the shoes for himself, and for the old man, and for her own feet, and the child's. He wouldn't know what to make of it if she wished to buy shoes. There was never anything hanging from the rafters in his uncle's crumbling old house. But in his own there was even a leg of pork which he had bought from his neighbor Ching when he killed his pig that looked as though it were sickening for a disease. The pig had been caught early before it lost flesh, and the leg was a large one, and Olan had salted it thoroughly and hung it to dry. There were as well two of their own chickens killed and drawn and dried with the feathers on and stuffed with salt inside. In the midst of all this plenty, they sat in the house, therefore, when the winds of winter came out of the desert to the northeast of them, winds bitter and biting. Soon the child could almost sit alone. They had had a feast of noodles, which mean long life, on his month birthday, when he was a full moon of age, and Wang Lung had invited those who came to his wedding feast, and to each he had given a round 10 of the red eggs he had boiled and dyed. And to all those who came from the village to congratulate him he gave 2 eggs. And every one envied him his son, a great, fat, moony-faced child with high cheekbones like his mother. Now, as winter came on, he sat on the quilt placed on the earthen floor of the house instead of upon the fields, and they opened the door to the south for light, and the sun came in, and the wind on the north beat in vain against the thick earthen wall of the house. The leaves were soon torn from the date tree on the threshold, and from the willow trees and the peach trees near the fields. Only the bamboo leaves clung to the bamboos in the sparse clump to the east of the house, and even though the wind wrenched the stems double, the leaves clung. With this dry wind, the wheat seed that lay in the ground couldn't sprout, and Wang Lung waited anxiously for the rains. And then the rains came, suddenly, out of a still grey day when the wind fell and the air was quiet and warm, and they all sat in the house filled with well-being, watching the rain fall full and straight and sink into the fields about the dooryard and drip from the thatched ends of the roof above the door. The child was amazed and stretched out his hands to catch the silver lines of the rain as it fell. And he laughed, and they laughed with him. And the old man squatted on the floor beside the child and said, "There is not another child like this in a dozen villages. Those brats of my brother notice nothing before they walk." And in the fields, the wheat seed sprouted and pushed spears of delicate green above the wet brown earth. At a time like this, there was visiting, because each farmer felt that for once heaven was doing the work in the fields, and their crops were being watered without their backs being broken for it, carrying buckets to and fro, slung upon a pole across their shoulders. And in the morning they gathered at this house and that, drinking tea here and there, going from house to house barefoot across the narrow path between the fields under great oiled paper umbrellas. The women stayed at home and made shoes and mended clothes, if they were thrifty, and thought of preparations for the feast of the new year. but Wang Lung and his wife were not frequent at visiting. There was no house in the village of small scattered houses, of which theirs was one of a half dozen, which was so filled with warmth and plenty as their own. And Wang Lung felt that if he became too intimate with the others, there would be borrowing. New Year was coming, and who had all the money he wanted for the new clothes and the feasting? He stayed in his house, and while the woman mended and sewed, he took his rakes of split bamboo and examined them, and where the string was broken he wove in new string made of hemp he grew himself. And where a prong was broken out, he drove in cleverly a new bit of bamboo. And what he did for the farm implements, his wife, Olan, did for the house implements. If an earthen jar leaked, she did not, as other women did, cast it aside and talk of a new one. Instead, she mixed earth and clay and welded the crack and heated it slowly, and it was as good as new. They sat in their house, therefore, and they rejoiced in each other's approval. Although their speech was never anything more than scattered words such as these. "Did you save the seed from the large squash for the new planting?" Or, "We will sell the wheat straw and burn the beanstalks in the kitchen." Or perhaps rarely Wang Lung would say, "This is a good dish of noodles." And Olan would answer in deprecation, "It is good flour we have this year from the fields." From the produce, Wang Lung, in this good year, had a handful of silver dollars over and above what they needed, and these he was fearful of keeping in his belt, or of telling any except the woman what he had. They plotted where to keep the silver, and at last the woman cleverly dug a small hole in the inner wall of their room behind the bed. And into this Wang Lung thrust the silver, and with a clod of earth she covered the hole, and it was as though there was nothing there. But to both Wang and Olan it gave a sense of secret richness and reserve. Wang Lung was conscious that he had money more than he need spend. And when he walked among his fellows, he walked at ease with himself and with all.